Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Romans chapter 12 this morning as we continue going through this section of the motivational gifts. We've been through prophecy, service, and teaching, and today we're going to be looking at the last four: encouragement, giving, administration or leadership, and mercy. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Let me just stop there for just a moment. Has God been merciful to you? I mean, have we gotten what we deserve? Oh boy, aren't you glad you haven't gotten what you deserve? I'm so glad I don't get what I deserve. I tell you, in view of God's mercy, Paul says, because of His great love for us and because of His mercy for us and because of the grace that He's given us, then he goes on to say, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We went through those again last week, and just as a reminder for us. So at the end of this, he gets right into this because he's saying to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, how do we do that? By taking what God has given us and begin to use that to fulfill what God has for us in the body of Christ. So verse 3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Everyone has the faith that God has given us so that we can put those into service through these different gifts that we're going to look at again today. Verse 4 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that's given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Father, I come to you again just thanking you for your word and for the way you continue to show us in your word things about you that you want manifested through the body of Christ. Lord, you love us so much and you want to show yourself to this whole world. And the way that you're doing that is through the body of Christ. So Lord, it shows us how important it is for us to be a right representative for you. And so, Lord, I just pray today that you would encourage us through these motivational gifts, understanding what you have gifted us with as a motivation to do in the body of Christ. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we went through the gift of prophecy. And again, I just want to remind you, prophecy is not necessarily standing up and saying, I had a vision about something that's coming. That's used in a very loose way by many people who claim to be able to see the future. I just tell you this, the only future that I need to see is already written in God's Word. And when you stop and think about when God's Word was written, over 2,000 years ago, and yet it's coming to pass day by day, we see things happening. And we will continue to see things happen that is in God's Word. And by the way, it tells us that Jesus is coming again. I don't know about you, but I get excited thinking about that. And the older I get, the more excited I get. I just think about what it's going to be like to be able to see Jesus face to face, to be in His presence. Then, last week we looked at the gift of service and the gift of teaching. The gift of service is giving of yourself to the service of the body of Christ. And there are so many people who God has gifted you, because, I mean, if something needs to be done, you're the first one to say, hey, I'll jump in there and do that. God has gifted you with that passion in your life to help the body of Christ. And then we went through the gift of teaching, and that's taking God's Word and being able to sit down and allow Him to speak to you so that you can speak to others about God's Word. But today we're going to be looking at these last four motivational gifts. These are gifts that God has given to motivate us, to motivate the body of Christ. And this gift is so awesome. It's called the gift of encouragement or exhortation. Before we actually get into the characteristics and the cost of that, let me just ask you to do something right now. I'm going to ask you to get up from your seat. Everybody stand up. Boy, y'all are going at it. Here we go. I want everybody to stand up, and I want you to look around and see someone that encourages you, and go up to them and tell them how they encourage you. Would you do that? Just take some time. Do that. I'm not going to put any time limit on it. Just go to somebody, and preferably not just your spouse, but go to somebody and just tell them how much they encourage you. All right? Would you do that? Now, as we're finishing that up and you're heading back, I want to ask you a question. Y'all can be seated. The gift of encouragement. It's coming alongside someone and lifting them up. All right? So let me ask you a question. How does that make you feel? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? See, the body of Christ is part of what we do together is to meet together so that we can encourage one another. And all the more as you see that day approaching, the Scripture says, we are to encourage one another. And as we see that day approaching, I see it coming, we ought to be lifting each other up and building each other up. And this is not the kind of thing that you have to kind of think up something to try to tell somebody. This is being able to look in with God's heart into that person and say, man, I see this in you. Encouragement. It makes you feel good. It helps the body of Christ. Don't you know that when your body feels better, you feel better? Right? We talked about how hard it can be if you smash your thumb with a hammer. It takes all the fun and goodness that you think you can go through away for a while because you're so worried about that thumb. You don't want to hit it against anything. You don't want anybody to touch it. If it's on your right hand and somebody comes up and offers your hand a shake, you go, oh, hi, how you doing? And you give them the other hand. And then you show them the thumb that's all swollen up. So, but the characteristics of encouragement we're going to go through them today. One of the things that the encourager likes, because, by the way, who is the encourager? The Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, who is there to encourage you along your path and along the way, the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage us. And so one of the things He likes to encourage us to do is to grow spiritually. And so if you have the gift of encouragement in your life, you love to see people growing in their walk with Christ. And when you see it, you want to tell them about it. You want to say, man, I love seeing how you do so and so, or how you're meeting this need in the body of Christ, and how you've been so good at being so faithful and being there. And that's the gift of encouragement, sees that. It's like you have this antenna that just goes right to those things. Another thing is it helps others achieve spiritual things. In other words, an encourager is a person who says, hey, I see this in you. Would this help you? What if we met together and prayed over this and just, you know, set some goals in our lives and we could encourage each other towards meeting those goals? Another thing that the gift encouragement does is this person is able to discern spiritual maturity in a person. Now, it's not to be judgmental. It's not to be used in a bad way. But what it does is it see the Holy Spirit allows us to see the Holy Spirit at work in other people. And I tell you what, it's awesome to see that. It's awesome to see God at work in somebody's life. Don't you agree with that? Well, the gift of encouragement allows somebody to see that, and not only to see it, but then to come alongside that person and say, "Man, I just want to encourage you by what you did the other day. I saw you helping that folk and those people out, and it just was a blessing to me." And you know, when you share stuff like that, then it's a blessing to them. The fourth thing is they view trials as growth opportunities. Now, we look at trials one way or the other usually. Some of us look at trials like, "Oh gosh, I've got to go through this again. Are you serious?" You know, in fact, James says we are to count it joy when we go through trials. So are you the person who looks at that trial and goes, "Oh boy, here's another way God can do His work in me"? Or are you the person who says, "Oh my goodness, not again"? You know? So a encourager looks at trials as a growth opportunity both in their life and in other people's lives. And one of the good things about an encourager is when they see you going through or see me going through a trial, they come alongside and say, "Hey, you know what? Let's not look at the trial itself. Let's look at what God is trying to do in us in this trial." Different perspective, isn't it? You know, some people say, "Oh, that's the person who looks at the glass half empty or half full." It's not optimism we're talking about. What it is looking at the fact that God has given people specific gifts to help, to encourage, to lift up. And you know what? If I'm going through a trial, I don't mind somebody trying to help me. I need it. I need help. Sometimes I'm not always open to it, as I should be. But that's my problem and not the person who's trying to help. People who have the gift of encouragement desire to have face-to-face. In other words, there are people who want to be there with someone, being able to specifically talk to them, pray with them, share Scripture with them, encourage them, walk alongside of them. I've known people who were very good at this, and they encouraged other people by saying, "Hey, let's meet together on tomorrow afternoon. We'll go for a walk." And so they go for this long walk together. And as they're walking and getting physical exercise, what they're really getting is a time to share with one another. Maybe it's just picking up the phone and say, "Hey, man, I was thinking about you today. I want to talk to you and see how you're doing. And, you know, I know something's going on in your life that you're struggling with. And can I pray with you? Can I share anything with you?" It's just people who have this desire to help each other out, the body of Christ. They also prefer application to research. In other words, they're not trying to figure out a new method of getting things done. They're trying to put what God's Word says into practice. Do we need anything better than God's Word? There isn't anything better than God's Word. There's nothing that we need outside of God's Word. And it's just saying, "Hey, listen, we know what God's Word says in this. Let's put this into application. Let's put it into practice." Because knowing the Word of God isn't everything. It's knowing what God wants and then doing it. Right? Because what good is it? What good does it profit a man? What if he gains everything else this world says is important and he misses what God has to say? Another thing about a person with the motivational gift of encouragement is they desire unity. They can't stand separation. They can't stand arguments. And I mean, if there's like something going on in the house between two people, they want to get right in the middle of it and say, "Hey, no, let's get this figured out. Let's don't let bitterness grow in your heart. Let's don't let these things separate us." Why? Because God doesn't want us separated. He wants us to work together as the body of Christ. You think about your body. If part of your body's not working right, it affects your whole body, correct? And so God says, no, these people have this desire to make sure that all of the body is working together for good. But there are some costs of encouragement. Some people can be so intense. In other words, they get so into something that you're going through that they lose track of other things that they need to be watching in their own lives or in their family's lives or whatever else. And they can get very intense. They may overlook other people's feelings. In other words, trying to tell you something seems to be more important sometimes to them than how you feel about what they're saying to you. And so we have to make sure that if you have the gift of encouragement, that you're understanding how the other person is feeling. Sometimes you can be pushy. Hey, this is something we got to do. You know, you forget that other thing you were going to do. We got to do this. And they just kind of come in and take over sometimes. We have to make sure that if you have the gift of encouragement, we don't do that. They become very results-oriented. In other words, I want to see this done in your life, period. No matter what else is going on, let's see this done. But one thing that's usually there is they hate conflict. And so if someone pushes back, they say, oh, okay, all right. And they step back because they don't like conflict. So these are just things about the gift of encouragement that will help us in the body of Christ allow those who are given this gift as a dominant gift in their life to do what God has called them to do as a part of the body of Christ. Let them do what God is calling them to do. Then the second one that he mentions, or it's actually the fifth one, but it's the second one we're looking at today. He says, if it's encouragement, let him encourage. If it's contributing, or giving, the word is, to the needs of others, let him give generously. So we're going to take a look at this gift of giving. And you might say, oh, well, here it comes. You're going to start talking about tithing and offerings and all that kind of stuff. No, what I'm talking about is what God's Word says. God's Word says that we ought to give to the needs of others generously. In other words, not holding stuff back. Some characteristics of a person who has this giving spirit within them because of the Holy Spirit that's residing in them. They become discerning and wise with most of their investments. In other words, they can kind of see beyond what the outer thing shows. I don't know about you, but there's probably been some things in your life, as in my life, that looks like, hey, that's a great investment because it looks so good. And you want to invest in it. And then you find out it's a sham. It's not any good at all. There's a lot of that stuff going on, right? This person is a person who's very discerning and wise, investing in anything else, and specifically investing in other people. They see through you if if they do something or give something towards you, and you say, oh, thank you, but you don't really mean thank you, and you're just glad to get something and move on. They're very sensitive to that. They typically give quietly without any fanfare. You don't even know that they're getting that. That's what they're doing many times. And they enjoy the anonymity. I'll get the right word out. The anonymity of giving. They don't want to be, brought in front of the church and say, man, this person gave $10,000 towards this fund. They don't want that. They just want to give because they know they're not giving to a person. They're not giving to even a group. They're giving to the Lord. Those with the gift of giving don't like to be pressured to give. In other words, one of the things that we do typically in error as people is we know people who've given in the past, and as soon as there's a need, we go straight to them and say, hey, we got this need, And if you don't give, we're not going to make the goal or whatever else. They don't need that pressure. If God puts it on their heart, they're going to be giving. No doubt about it. The people who do give, though, like to use giving to motivate others to give. Because what happens with a person who gives, you can't outgive God, right? And so when you give, what does God do? Well, the Scripture says He gives to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, there's no way you can give more than what God's going to give you. He's going to take care of you. And because of that, we can tell other folks that, hey, you know, there was a need, we gave to it, we didn't really have a whole lot, we gave to it, but look at what God did in the midst of that. And it motivates people to see beyond themselves, which, by the way, is what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the emphasis off of us and puts it where it needs to be, upon God. Also, they love to see their gifts answering prayers. You see, they don't care if people know that they gave or not. That's what not. They just want to see that what we've been praying for was answered. And I just used a couple of illustrations real quick. I mean, we had a need when we came into this whole season of COVID to be able to continue to get the word out to people who weren't able to come and meet in our presence. So we needed some cameras, and we needed the opportunity to get online, and we needed all those things. And God met those needs. God continues to meet our needs. We had a boiler that went down, and it was going to be a $12,000 hit that we didn't have. And we mentioned that and prayed about it as a group, and God provided. He provided somebody who had the ability to put it in for us. He provided all those things. God does that kind of thing. And people who give love to see those gifts being answered prayers. Every person who gives with the gift of giving feels like their part is worthwhile, no matter how much it is. See, God's not interested in how much. He's interested in our heart. You remember, as the disciples were standing with Jesus one day in Jerusalem, and Jesus drew attention to the fact that there was one person who was making sure that everybody saw that they were giving this great amount of money, and I want everybody to know how much I'm giving. And then there was this widow who came up and just put two small coins in the offering. And what did Jesus say about that? She gave more than anyone else because she gave out of her need. She was blessed because she was willing to give, even when she didn't have anything. Another thing about people who have the gift of giving is they usually like things that are high quality. In other words, they don't want to give things towards junk. Yeah, you know, if you do that, you keep throwing money away, right? You keep throwing money into stuff that doesn't work, right? And isn't going to happen. And they like to see that what they've given money for, or time for, or whatever else, is worthwhile. Now, other side of that is the cost of giving can. Some people who give a lot can be critical of others who don't. And they may even try to put themselves up against those people in their own heart and mind, which is not of God, and it doesn't help the body of Christ. It can only hurt. They can also be possessive afterwards. I remember, many years ago, in a small church that we were serving, there was this whole big deal about recarpeting the auditorium. And people wanted to give money towards that, but some of the people that were giving money towards that wanted to make sure that it was going to be the kind of carpet that they wanted. You see, when you give, it means you release that to God. So when you release it, it's out of your hands. You have to determine that God can control it. But it's difficult because some people who have things like to be possessive afterwards, and they want to kind of control it. And because of that, they can actually lose the joy of the gift that they gave. I can tell you there's been multiple churches that have split because a group gave towards one thing and then the other people didn't like it that way, and so they decided they were going to leave. See, those things are not helpful to the body of Christ. They're hurtful. So you have to make sure that when you give, you're releasing it to God for His use. Some of them want to have those strings attached. You know, okay, I'm going to give this, but I want to make sure that when I give this, this is what happens to it. If you're going to give, just give. Okay, if you're not going to give, then don't give. They need to remember that they're giving to God and not to man. God can take care of it. God can handle whatever the situation is. And you may actually like the blue carpet instead of the red. God can handle it. The third thing it talks about in Scripture is the gift of leadership or administration. Some of the characteristics of a person who has this gift, spiritual gift of administration, is they see the big picture. They're not so worried about all the little details sometimes. They're a visionary. They look at things and they go, man, this is what God could do if we'd get on board, if we'd work together. And they see this big picture. And because of that, then they have this desire to motivate people, to organize so that we can get the goal accomplished. So they are very detail-oriented. They can see things that need to happen. They have the ability to delegate. In other words, they see their vision as God's vision, and so they know that it's nothing that they could accomplish, but all of us together doing different things at the same time can get the job done. We had a guy on our staff one time that was very good at this, and when we had something that needed to happen, he was put in charge typically, and he would start delegating things that needed to happen, and we would get committees together and groups of people together, and he would encourage them to get those things done, and it was awesome because that was the gift that he was given. The person with administration has a respect for authority, always looking to the fact that God is in control, not us. You know, I think that's so important because sometimes when we start projects or we start thinking that we need to get things done, it starts to become, we need to get things done. I need to get things done. God is using the body of Christ. He's not using one little particular part of the body of Christ. They also typically have this desire to see things through to the end, and when they get to the end, they celebrate it. They're so excited that people have done what God has called them to do, and we've accomplished the thing that God has called us together to do. They even love challenges. Something comes up and it's not working exactly the way that they thought it was going to. It's a challenge for them and not a, oh man, we're done. And they throw in the towel. They are so excited about seeing what it is that God really wants to teach us in the middle of the trial. I can kind of imagine Joshua like that because, you know, God says, okay, I want you to go and take the promised land. It's yours. Every place you set your foot on will be yours. And so Joshua got before the people and encouraged them and told them, you know, God has given us this land. Let's go and take it. And I can just imagine some of the others who don't have the gift of administration going, yeah, that sounds great, Joshua. We've got one problem. There's a river that's flooding. How are we going to get over there? And when we do get over there, there's still giants that live in the land, and they have fortified cities. And I can just imagine all these people coming up with all the excuses of why we can't do what God says we can do. And Joshua says, okay, I want you to consecrate yourselves. And that's an interesting statement that he makes. He says, I want you to go get alone with your group, with your family, with your clan, whatever it is, and I want you to consecrate yourself. What that means is set yourself apart for God's work and not your own. And when you do that, then we will come together and we will cross this flooded river. So this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to have the priests pick up the Ark of the Covenant, and they're going to step into the river. And when they do, the river will become dry. And it will wall up. And we'll cross on dry land. And guess what happened? That's exactly what happened. Can you imagine the first priest stepping in, what he was thinking? Oh man, here I go. But he did it. And he stepped off. Now, interesting about the Jordan River is it's not like a gently flowing side into the river. It was like a 6-foot step off into the water. I mean, you had to make a commitment. You know, and if you step in, you're in. And that's exactly what they did. They stepped in, and the water immediately walled up, and the whole nation crossed on dry ground. Joshua said, look, this is what we got to do. And I love the challenge that's here. He says, okay, now we get to go against the most fortified city ever, Jericho. They had walls that were so thick you couldn't knock through them. They were so high you couldn't get over them. How's it even possible? And God said, okay, I'll tell you how it's possible. Just walk around the city one time for 6 days. Don't say anything. Just walk around the wall. Then on the seventh day, I want you to walk around it 7 times. But on the seventh time, I want you to shout for the Lord and blow your trumpets. Now, it's interesting, God didn't say to him, okay, and this is how it's going to work. He just said, I want you to do this. And the people did. And we all know what happened. When they shouted and they blew their trumpets, what happened? The walls crashed to the ground. And they were able to go in and conquer the people of Jericho. That's the challenge. But God puts it before people. And they find great joy in a job that's well done. I can tell you that if you have something given to you to do and you work on it and you cover all the bases and you cover all the details and you finally get it done, there is great joy in doing a good job. Some of the cost of administration is they need detail-oriented people around them. In other words, they have the big picture, but if you don't have people who can do the individual things surrounding you, then the big picture never happens. And so a person who's good at administration makes sure that they find people who are very detail-oriented and can help them get the job done. Sometimes they can get too focused that they have tunnel vision. In other words, they get so focused on this one project that they don't see all the other things that are happening around them. And then when people ask them about those other things, they're going like, I'm right here. I'm going right here. This is where we all need to stay focused, right here. And they can miss some things that God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes they can even seem overbearing. We've all known people like that. We've never seen them in the mirror, but we know people like that. We can all be overbearing sometimes. And many times they may take on too much at one time. You see, you can't do a bunch of different things really well. Typically, God gives you one thing to work on because He knows us and He knows what we're like. The last one we're going to look at this morning is the gift of mercy. One of the most beautiful gifts of God because it pictures Him. Aren't you glad God has given us mercy? We don't get what we deserve. We get what He's given for us. Here are some characteristics of people who have this gift of mercy in their life. They're very sensitive to joy or distress. In other words, they have that radar going on and they sense what's going on in people's lives. They can just look at you and know that you're either hurting or you're happy or whatever else. They just have that sense in their lives. And they're very sensitive to those things. And because of that, they desire to help out when other people are going through hurts. They're the first person to come and give you a hug and say, hey, what can we do to help you out? And you're struggling, they're there to help you. They give you a call on the phone. Their hearts are full of desire to help other people. They're usually very tender and loving. They're the people who would do anything for you that would help you out. They're very sensitive to other people's feelings. In other words, they're able to realize that you're struggling with something, even when you don't act like you're struggling, or maybe you're trying to put on a happy face, but they're very sensitive and they know what's going on. And they're very open to other people like them. In other words, they love to be in situations where other people have the gift of mercy or helps, as it's called as well. And they work well together because they all want something to be done. And they find great joy in meeting someone else's needs. They don't want any fanfare about it. They don't want people to know it necessarily. In fact, many people with the gift of mercy would rather just do it incognito. But they love to see people help in the middle of struggles. Now here's the last few things we're going to go through today about this gift of mercy. Many of them have a lack of firmness. It's kind of like what we were talking about the other last Sunday. Sometimes they have this issue of not being able to say no. And so because of this gift of mercy and somebody asks them to do something, they automatically say yes, even if they're overextended. Even if they have too much on their platter already. They say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll help out with that. And because of that, they can get so stretched out that they can't really accomplish anything very well. And so you have to practice saying no. They can be a pushover. In other words, people who kind of have authority or whatever else can come to them and they can't say no to them. They okay, whatever it is you need me to do, that's what I'll do, whatever it is. They can get their feelings hurt very easily, though, because many times they do these things, and yet nobody tells them thank you, and nobody encourages them, and nobody's there for them. And so when they're struggling, they're going like, well, you know, what's going on here? I give, and I help out, and I have a gift of mercy, and I'm using it, but nobody's doing that for me. And so they can kind of get hurt easily. They can also be closed to those who are not like them. You know, I realize that many times we like to be around people who are somewhat like us. The scary part is I don't like to be around people that's like me because I don't like who I am sometimes. No, they love to be close to those. But they can also be closed to those who are not like them. In other words, if they're dealing with somebody who doesn't really care about the hurts or things that other people are going through, they become closed towards them. And they look for people who they can get along well with. Because you have the opportunity to become closed to those who aren't like them, then you can easily become bitter and start saying, oh, that person doesn't really care about anybody. They don't have any mercy. They don't care about what so-and-so is going through. They don't see the need. They don't, and they can become bitter towards someone else. The reason we go through all these things, and we've been through all of these about prophecy and service, and teaching and now encouragement and giving and administration and mercy. The reason we go through all of these things is for one specific purpose, and that is God has put all of these different gifts in many different people in the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can work together as it needs to work together. Just like He's put all kinds of different cells in our physical body that work together so that one thing can be accomplished, we stay alive. In the same way, God has a purpose for every person in the body of Christ. He has a purpose for you. And you might say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, listen, folks, that's why we're going through these things, because God gives you, by His Holy Spirit, indications. Some of these things that just click in your mind and go, yeah, that's me. That's how I feel about this situation. Or that's what God has gifted me to do. I really feel good about that. Then you can start looking for opportunities, and God will put them in front of you if you start looking for them, to serve in whatever situation, in encouragement, in service, in teaching, in giving, in administration, in mercy, in prophesying, whatever it is. God will give you the opportunity to use your gifts in the body of Christ. And because of that, the body will function the way that God has intended for it to function. Well, I want to close with a question. Do you believe the body of Christ nationally is working as it should? Do you believe the body of Christ locally is working as it should? Even deeper, do you believe this body of Christ is working as it should? If the answer is yes, let's go for it 100%. But if it's no, let's find out what it is that God wants me to do, what it is that God wants you to do, and then do it with your whole heart. Do it with your whole heart. Because that is serving the body of Christ that can corporately serve the Lord in the place that He's planted us. That's what God wants. Well, let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank You for these gifts that are mentioned as Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and they too are wanting to know what it is that they need to do. Lord, You've shown us that all of these things are because of Your great love for us, and that our love for You must be sincere, and our worship of You must be sincere, and our service of You must be sincere. So, Lord, because of that, I know that You're speaking to all of us in this process, because You've given us gifts, and You encourage us, Lord, to take these gifts and use them properly for the body of Christ. I pray, Father, that as we go through as we've gone through these, maybe there's something that sticks out in every person's mind, something that they believe that You have called them to do. And so, Lord, I pray that You will encourage them to do it with their whole heart, not to hold back, not to partially do it, but to step in the water and follow You. Because You will lead us in each one of these areas by Your Holy Spirit. That's why they are the gifts of the Spirit. They are motivational in this access here, in this passage. There are other gifts that are used in different ways. But these gifts are the gifts of the body of Christ for the church of the Lord. And I pray, Father, we will put them into practice. Lord, I also am so grateful for the fact that because of this, You show us how powerful the Holy Spirit is in those who have trusted You as their Lord and Savior. But the fact is for those who have not yet trusted You, have not given their lives to You, they're trying to live their lives according to their own desires. And they're missing all that You would love to do in their lives. Not only are You willing and have already paid for their salvation, You're also willing to grow them into the likeness of Your Son through the body of Christ. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here or listening online today who has not yet trusted you as their personal Lord and Savior, this would be the day they do so. Father, they give their hearts to you completely, and they would begin to follow you and the desires you have in their life. Whatever it is that you're speaking this morning, Father, I pray that you will do your work in us. We're going to stand in just a moment, and Brother Tom's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. And as he does so, I just encourage you, maybe you feel like you now see what it is that God wants you to do. Would you just pray and offer yourself up as a living sacrifice to him so that he can use you in those areas? Maybe you realize you have not yet trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd love to share with you how you can know that he's your Lord and Savior and how to call on him. Whatever it is that God is speaking to your heart this morning, I encourage you to do it. Maybe you're listening online today and you want to give your life to Christ. Just drop a little note and we will contact you and allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Whatever it is, let's do that right now. Let's stand and begin to sing. Brother Tom is going to lead us. I'll be here at the front if you come.